Check, check.
Check, check, check. This is Pastor Mark's mic, and he's a bigger guy than me. He's got a bigger head than I do, so he's going to love that. Awesome. Great to be here. I'm excited. Pastor Mark, whenever he asked me to speak, I've always learned that there's a reason for that, because I feel like the call, we all have different calls on our life. And I feel like as for me, it is a person that had to, you know, go through trials as we all do, but also a person that's looking for grace, that has a message, and really I feel like I'm purchased back by the blood of my Savior. And I know that in Jesus' name. And the reason I say that is because to be purchased, it's really not my plan anymore. Amen. And that's what's tough for all of us. We're going to hear a good word today, I believe, because I'm prayed up, invested in it, and spent a lot of time, because I learned to take that serious, because God took it serious when He came after me. Amen. He came after me, a lost person that needed grace. And whenever we get out in the world and we look around us, we need a lot of grace. Amen. We need a lot of love. And thank God for Jesus in my own life. And I always feel like when He calls me, I'm supposed to answer that call. And Pastor Mark just said, man, he goes, I just feel like you're supposed to bring this message. And I'm like, okay, then, Pastor, I will accept that call. And not always do we, here's the thing I had to learn. We won't ever feel worthy, but what we can do is rest in the fact that we're saved today. What I can really do is give you a testimony of salvation that changed my life, and that is I understood finally that I needed a Savior, but that He's good all the time, and He's got me all the time, and He's there for me in the good and the bad. Amen. And it doesn't matter how bad I mess it up or how much I get it right, He doesn't change. See, we got to conclude that. For one thing I've learned is God's not going to change. And as we go out, and all of us, I think, we're going to hear this today in the Word. You're going to hear this, and it's going to speak to you, because we want it our way. Woo! And we want it slapped together. We want it supersized flat right now, and I want it to be just like going through McDonald's. That's America. God, fix it for me. And if you don't do it my way, where you at? What's the matter with you, Lord? Lord, I don't trust you anymore. We don't really say that, but that's kind of what we do, isn't it? We're going to get to that today, because I poured it in the last week, and Pastor Mark, I'm like, man, I've got to make some change. It's not make change. I've got to dig in. So I started going, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'm going to worship more in the morning. I'm going to worship when I get up. I'm going to get in the Word more, and I'm going to seek this message for Mark chapter 6, because that's what the call was for me today. And I'm going to pour my life into it, God, with the expectation that you're going to do a work, and has absolutely zero to do with me. Thank God that I don't want that responsibility. None of us do. God's a good God, and He can do a work today, but here's the deal. He can do it through you. If He can do it through you, I know He can do it through me. Amen. He wants to reach somebody today, because we're poured in and invested in it, and the Holy Spirit's going to show up. I came today expecting. I prayed this morning that every person that was going to be here was supposed to be here. And not that they would hear from me, but they would hear from God, and that by the purchase price of my soul, I stand before you asking God to show up today, the Holy Spirit to show up, so that you hear a powerful word. I believe God wants to change lives today. I believe He wants salvation today, and He wants the fullness of the victory of the cross in your life today. And we need to start walking in that. We need to start looking for that in the name of Jesus. That's what I'm here to do today. I'm looking for it, and all I'm going to do is just tell you what I feel like He's telling me. I'm going to surrender my spirit today and believe that God has something for us. So let's pray. Father God, I come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, and I humble myself to your mighty hand, God, as we've spent time together, Lord. I know it's an appointment today, and someone here, I believe everyone here, God, you desire to reach everyone today, because we're one or two people. We either need to know salvation, or we need to start walking in the fullness of the victory that you've given us. And God, I thank you today for every person. I thank you, God, that today I throw my crown at your feet, God. And I have nothing but you in my life today, no matter what. And God, I give you praise, God, that I'm written, that my name's written there. And that today I just pray that you just use me in a great way, and that your people will hear from you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so came here expecting. I'm going to ask you right now, stop for just a moment and ask yourself, are you ready to expect today, and are you ready to hear from God? Because the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me all week, and He's been saying, Mark, my people need to start walking in belief instead of unbelief. And what we're doing in society is we run around expecting bad. The anticipation in our world right now of everything going to go wrong and nothing works out is running rampant. And it is in our children. I see it in school. I see it when I'm coaching on the field. Everybody's expectation is, if I can just get through today before disaster hits, because my life cannot work, it's not going to be good for me, it's not going to work out, and I've lost hope. Woo! I'm like, okay, God, so what do we do there? Tell them the truth. Man, I'm a big God. They know me as Savior. They should have joy. I walk around and look for joy in people. I get around people, man. You get around people sometime, you're just like, oh, and all of a sudden your joy just went out the window. I'm like, I have to get prayed up for those occasions, because I'm like, man, I just want joy, and I love being around people that bring me joy. Jesus on you. That's what I love. I've heard people say that before. Because you can tell the difference. You can tell people that are going through misery and trial and discomfort when they still look at you and smile and say, it's all good, and it's not fake. They're still digging in with hope. But see, if we don't have Jesus, if we don't know Him as our Savior, we're going to miss out on life. And I get to see families now, and I get to see kids. I get to see different things that I'm involved in, from work to coaching and all those things. And I can tell the demeanor of a household and a place simply by their joy. And it makes my heart cry out, because I was there. Whew, I was looking for something. I was lost, and I was running around going, the world is coming at me everywhere, and where could I just lean in the most of me? It may work out best for me by chance or by some accident. Today I get it right based on my guidelines. And I kept seeking my own guidelines. None of them worked, guys, for years. And all of a sudden I found out, woo, this right here works, thank God. And you know what? I had to hit my knees hard. I had to find out the hard way. But thank God for that. Because today the purchase price that I have in my life, and the knowing that I'm saved, is I'm just as saved today as if I walk outside the door and that's my last moment. Amen. He wants us to have victory in the here and now. In Jesus' name. He wants us to bring joy and speak it with power and authority to His people, that they can stand up and look at the enemy and say, that's enough. I've got your back, Mark. Go into battle. And He puts your name in that place. I got your back. It's all good. It's going to be great. But are you looking for me in it? Do you want it to be your way, or do you want it to be mine? Do you find the goodness in things, or do you find the goodness in me? Wow. And they are different. We're going to get into that too. Okay, so Mark chapter 6, Pastor Mark makes me laugh because he's like, that's my favorite book of the Bible. I'm like, it's mine too, Pastor. You keep taking credit for it. So he goes, Mark chapter 6. And I go, okay. So I look into Mark chapter 6. I go, I'll just find something in here. Good message. We'll just bring it real quick. And I'll just go and it'll all work. Okay, so I'll just look at this Mark chapter 6. Because even though I've read the Bible and I read the New Testament a lot, I'm going, what is Mark chapter 6 for sure? I don't know him by heart, guys. So I get into Mark chapter 6 and I go, holy cow. God, so we got Jesus rejected in Nazareth, sending out the 12 disciples. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus walks on the water, and many are touched. Many who touch Him are made well. And I go, there's about 25 messages in that Mark chapter 6. And it's only in about 40 or 50 verses. So I go, okay, then if this is what I'm asked to do, what I have to do is pull into this in its fullness and let You reveal to me and Your people, God, the commonalities of what's in Mark chapter 6. What is in Mark chapter 6 in all those great things that Jesus is doing? Now, this is during His ministry. This is when He's got the 12, and He goes in and he sends them out. He's doing powerful works, and all these things I found out they have commonalities or common things. That just started to jump out at me. And it also parables who we are today and what we're going through and what our problem is, really. It's mine. When I started reading, I'm like, wow, there's another problem I got. Yeah. Thank God I get a transition and fix them every day. It's so funny because I get, you know, the day that we start thinking that we get up in the morning and we don't need to change, it's the day that you're going the wrong direction. We're either up or down. So I'm like, I got to get better today, God. So if you'll turn to Mark chapter 6, We're going to do a word search through these. I'm going to run through this chapter. We're going to read a lot out of it today, and we're going to look for these nuggets. So we're going to play a game, so you got to play this game with me. As we go through it, we're going to look for these three things, where the people's faith is tested in each one of these, and they're going to be tested. And it's your faith today. I want you to put yourself in place of each one of these. The other is where Jesus gave them the authority. Woo! Thank God for that. And then where the people actively performed the miracles based on the authority that God gave them. Wow. Really? Yes. See, we keep reading the Bible all the time, and I want to get to this. This is the main point today. We're going to get to this. It's by the power of God that anything happens. It's by the power of God that I stand before you today. Trust me on that one. And it's by His plan that we're going to hear from Him. But when we get in a situation where we start reading the Bible and waiting for Jesus to do something that He's already done, instead of taking His word and His plan and walking it out and beginning to change lives around us, change our own, change our family, and spill over into the plan of the Great Commission that God gave us to go forth, we're not going to see joy and hope in this world. Wow, because here's what Jesus would tell us, and He's going to tell us in these stories today. I've already done it, Mark. You're not waiting on me anymore. And we live in a country that's doing what I just said. God, fix this. It's the way I want. No, I don't have time for you, Lord, because I'm going to run over here. We got a family deal, and I got to go here real quick. The game's on tonight, and then tomorrow we'll be over there. And I got to run over here and make some more money so I don't go broke and can't pay my bills. So here's what I need, God. You fix it real quick. I'll be back and talk to you later. Woo! And we do that. You know, that's our fix for God. And there should be an investment. Matthew 6:33, I speak it. It's my call, is Matthew 6:33, which is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I preach this, and people always look at me funny. It's funny when I look at people's faces and I see them because I know that I'm right. I can feel the Spirit of God inside me go, put a check in it, because I go, how many people can truly say that they seek God first? And then don't raise your hands, please, because that's a tough one to answer, right? Because if we're poured into God and we're invested, now this week I'm invested more than I was last week. About the last 10 days I've set things aside and changed my patterns so that today God would meet me here, because trust me, without the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't have the ability to have peace and to bring this word today. But I know when I'm invested in Him, He's always had my back, and He always will, because He had it in my darkest hour. Ooh, and sometimes to be able to be so close, you can smell and you can see the enemy up close. Sometimes can also be your victory. Unfortunately, I've seen Him up close. And thank God for a Savior, then I don't ever have to go back there. And that's preaching to someone today. It's preaching to me. That's good. Okay, so Jesus rejected at Nazareth. Let's read this. So turn to Mark chapter 6, and let's hear what the word tells us right quick. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things, and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Judas, Simon?" I can't say the other one. We'll just skip through that. "And are not his sisters here with us?" Typical. I mean, we can see this happening, right? So put yourself here. This is Jesus' hometown, and he comes up today, and all of a sudden, isn't this Joe down here isn't he the carpenter down here on the corner, right? So that's where the people are at. "But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country,'" or own city in this case, "'among his own relatives and in his own house.' Now he could do no mighty work there." There's the key. Okay, "except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and they were healed." Which, if I'm doing that, we're pretty powerful if we can do that. But the fact is, Jesus, I mean, he can't do any powerful works. But here's the deal. He's Jesus, and the reason he can't do these works is because of the people. That's us today. Okay, so this is going to challenge you. And when we get done today, I want us to leave here empowered with life-changing message from the Word that helps us, okay? That's what I believe God's going to do today. So right here he says, he could do no mighty work there. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Wow. Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. He's probably doing that today. With me? Really? With you? Would Jesus marvel at your unbelief today? I think that's a question we need to ask. Then he went about the village and his circuit teaching. So I'm going to skip now to Luke chapter 7 where Jesus marveled again. He's only marveled two times. Let's draw an association. Once here, he's marveled because of unbelief. So my message title is Unbelief and Belief. And you're going to get right down to this point. At some point, your entire life is wrapped up in faith. We're either walking in belief or unbelief today, and your measure of faith and your ability to apply the word to your life is the difference maker. Okay, so it's unbelief or belief. So in Luke chapter 7, I think, do you have that, Carrie? There we go. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. So I said, just say it, Lord, he's healed. Woo. For I also am, I love this, a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and the other, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, these sayings, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd who followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. So two different people. The people that are going, is this a carpenter? Who's this guy? That's unbelief. This guy can't do this. So Jesus can't move. All right? And then the next is going to be just so much faith that goes, hey, Jesus, you have authority, and I want to tap into this because some of you have authority in your home, in your job, in different things. Because if I've learned one thing, God is about authority. And when he transfers it to somebody or he transfers it somewhere, it works. Okay? So in this case, the authority that the disciples are going to have when they go out is coming from God to do a powerful work. You see where I'm at with that. Babe, would you put that right back up over just a second? That last. So, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. He turned around and he tells the crowd this. Okay? So, here's what I'll tell you about authority. It's given to me today by Pastor Mark, who heard from God to come into this house. Like when I travel and I preach and I go on the road and I go into a church, I love because they'll come in and they'll pray and they'll say, Mark, and then they'll give you the microphone and then they'll say, basically there is a transference of authority and allowance to stand in front of the people. And when that happens, until that happens, I will not go in front of God's people until that happens because the authority that God established is relevant. Okay? So anytime God gives authority, you take it, and then you are the one that's actually doing the work. We're going to find that here in a minute, and it's awesome. As I was reading it, I'm like, we're going to get something out of this, okay? So anyway, two different situations. Jesus has marveled twice, and it was all because of the people, not because of himself. One was of great faith, and one was of great doubt, okay? So what is telling you right there is your ability to do great things is yours, and God's already finished that, and we need to quit asking or changing. It's not that we don't want to seek, but he's done the work. But you need to go seek in and find out what is your responsibility or what part you can play to allow God to move in your own life, okay? So that's what we're going to get to. So I wrote a note here. In the two situations that they marveled, when they said, isn't he just a carpenter? People don't follow carpenters nor formal training. They don't follow fishermen like Peter either. And they don't follow people like Paul who was killing Christians either. And they don't follow people that are from Camargo either. And they don't follow, let's be serious. They don't follow, but they follow God. And they follow the authority that's transferred to his people. And we all have it. Okay? God is not respecter of person. All right? So Jesus is Jesus. I'm not trying to replace that. But at any time, you're going to see that people, that they have choices. That God gave us a choice. We already had it figured out in the garden. Unfortunately, it was our fault that we chose to step away from God. Amen. Okay, so anyway, I'm gonna skip down. I had a statement here. I have always said that we must conclude that we need to be saved to truly be saved. Here's what happens. When we do Christmas, I heard this week. When we do Christmas and you hear about the angel coming to the people, today born to you in the city of David is a Savior. and that offends people. What? You're calling me a sinner then? There's people right out there. Now think about it right now. There are so many people offended with Jesus because they do not want to understand or think that they need a Savior. Wow. Just the very thought, I need saved. I didn't know it. You see where I'm at? Okay, so what we have to get to is these people were offended by Jesus, God Himself in the flesh, all right, for certain reasons. Okay, so the point of this scripture is this. Jesus was limited on what He could do because of people's unbelief. Jesus marveled at their unbelief. No great miracles happened. He marveled at great belief because miracles happen. The miracle was up to the people in both cases. Okay, now I'm going to go to Jesus sends out the 12. I love this because if you go on down to verse 7, calling the 12 to Him, He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority. Wow, He gave them instructions. And the authority over evil spirits, these were His instructions. Take nothing for your journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. So I looked this up. Tunic is what they wear, but they also would take two so they could sleep outside if they needed to because it would serve as their blanket. So what He's saying is, you're going to go there. There's going to be people, place for you to stay. They're going to take care of your every need. I don't want you to take nothing. So the act of obedience of the people that gave them the power and the transferring of the authority by their choice, they are invested in fasting to do exactly what God said. Now, God's asking you to do some different things in your life right now and to fast from some things, which means turn from one thing to another. Doesn't matter what it is, just different things. He's asking us to change so we can transfer, so He can transfer this authority and this power into your life to trust Him. Because He knew when they went in the town, they would start leaning on other things. Oh, we'll take enough food with us in case no one feeds us. We'll take an extra deal in case we have to sleep outside. You see where this is going? They got all this figured out. So people are going, they're going, we won't take nothing, God? I mean, just imagine that. We're going to go there with our staff, and that's it. Okay. And we're going to, well, it worked out for them. They went there, okay, and they did what God said. But the investment, and that's why I shared my own testimony of trying to invest so that I could speak to you today. Because I believe that God honors people that seek Him. So God would ask you right now, are we just stepping over here and going, hey, God, fix everything up for me right quick. I'll be back. I'll talk to you tomorrow or next week whenever I think of it. Or when my life falls apart, I'll call on you. And we'll fix it then. And then I'll run back over here, right back into the world. That is, guys, it's not good. It wants to destroy it. I tell you what, it hates. It hates the blood of the Lamb. It hates the power of God. And it will do anything it can to disrupt that. Okay? But you know what's good? Jesus overcame the world. I don't have to worry about that. Amen? That's a good thing. So let's run to God. Okay? So give them authority over impure spirits. I'm going to go to verse 8. There's the instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money, nor your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt, which is the tunic. Whether you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Wow. Doesn't sound like, you know, if we go down here and people won't listen to you, God's telling us probably we should just leave. Just get out of the way. Because they're not ready for that. We can't be the Holy Spirit. We can't go in there and do that. You know, and everybody, I've learned at one time, and I don't want to go too deep in this, but love your neighbor as yourself. I'm not sure everyone's your neighbor. We read that in the Bible. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, let me tell you this. People that don't serve our God that want to kill you, if you go back to the Old Testament, they're not your neighbor. Your neighbor is someone that's grafted in and someone that sees God in the world the way that you do. Now, does God love them all? Absolutely. 100%. But when I got into that, I heard a preacher speak on that one time, and he said, you know, you go back in the Old Testament, it's going to war against the people that are not of God. But God, Jesus' grace covers all that. You see what I'm saying? But we can't sit by and let people, we do have to turn our cheek, you know, but we just can't let people come in and kill you and run over you that are not of you. Okay? I don't know why I said that, it went that way today, but it's a fact. They went out and they preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Whew. Now, verse 7. The 12 were given the authority by Jesus. The 12 did the work by that authority. Jesus didn't do it. He gave them authority to do it. He gave me authority to come here today. He's going to give you authority over your own family. He's going to give you authority over your job, your workplace, your life, and he's going to ask you to go do it. And he's got your back the whole way based on his word, but can we apply this into our life and walk it out in a way that Jesus can honor it? But we have to know this. This is Jesus in the flesh, or the flesh became the word right here. This is God Almighty. And so what happens is when we apply this and we go out and we walk that out, I have authority over my situation. Because what I found out, as bad as it got, Jesus still had my back. And as I was rolling out life, messing it up and trying to find God, I was at a place in life, I had to go to church on Sunday and Wednesday because I was already dirty by Wednesday. Has anybody been there? So I'd go Sunday morning, I'm going, where can I be at church on Wednesday? So I want to go to Wednesday. Because the enemy, by Monday night, was just beating me pillar to post. And then Tuesday, and I'm like, can Wednesday not get here quick enough? And then next thing you know, I started pouring more God in and looking at it, and it started revealing my heart. And what I did was I said, God, I need to give you this. Woo! And then I said, God, and I was like, God, if I take a step that way, can it get better? Yes, Mark. Really? And I started tearing myself back and forth, and I started taking steps that way towards God. And you know what? It got better. And joy became, and all of a sudden, all the stuff that used to worry me and trouble me about what people thought and how bad Mark Ward was or the mistakes I made, I stand before you today because I got to a point that God's bigger than all that. Wow. With peace. Because there was about 8 years of me getting in front of people without peace. What's somebody going to think? Sooner or later, it doesn't matter. God, I stood before the people, and I want you to hear this. This is not about me. It's a testimony. So I'm going to give you a testimony of what God always tells me, and this is for your own life. I got in front of people, and I was standing right here, one of the first times I ever preached, and I stood back. I say this almost every time I hear because we need to hear it again. And I stood back because the Holy Spirit overwhelmed me and brought me to tears, and I stood back for a minute, and I went, and God prompted me in my heart, and he said, Mark, do not get up there and try to justify yourself with your junk. And I stopped. I mean, this was in my heart. I go, what do you mean, God? I stood back, and he goes, I can't share my glory with your junk and your past. And it broke me. And I said to God in my spirit, right here on this stage, I said, God, are you telling me that you actually want me to get up here in front of your people and speak your word with power and authority as if my sins really are forgiven? Woo. And he said, yes. You're either saved or you're not, Mark. I've either empowered you and give you the gift of life and eternal life, and I've called you by my authority to stand before my people, or I haven't. And from that day forth, I said, God, I'll never grovel again. You and I go, but here's the deal, Lord, because we do this in fear. You going to have my back? I got your back, Mark, didn't I? Here's the thing is, he didn't have to tell me because I just looked at the cross. And it was almost like, are you going to ask that? Are you really going to ask me if I got your back, Mark? And I saw Jesus on the cross. And I said, you got my back then. Woo. See, we got to have that, guys. And I think the reason that God empowers me to tell you that is we need testimonies of normal people living the life that Jesus gave them that are not perfect, that are out in the world bringing joy and the power of God and salvation into people's lives and speaking the truth to them without hesitation. Without hesitation, because I'll trust me, the reason I can do this is because I'm not worthy, not because I am. But it makes me love God more, and every time I mess up, I run and jump in his lap. Every time it's not going good for Mark, I run and jump in his lap. Please, God. And he's never not caught me. Wow. You know what I'll tell you too? Never yet has this word failed me. The problem is, I'm using my own word over here a lot in my life. I'm running around going, God, here's how it works. Win all my games, make a whole bunch of money, buy more things. You know, I'm going through life with this Mark Ward plant manual over here. But we're always going to do this because we're real people. We're always going to do this. The problem is the enemy with me, he wants to make me so busy I don't have time to stand before you today. So I have to be careful what things I choose to do because I would do this. I would do this if I could, but not because I wanted to. It's because I know that I'm secure today. I'm safe. It brings a deeper revelation today when I stand in front of you. Jesus sent out the 12. I'm just going to go through this because God's taking me to a little bit different place. And the Holy Spirit is awesome. And when we trust and we open, I'll learn. I'm like, God, I'm not very good at this. I'm going to open my mouth and you fill it today. And we're going to go through here and find out the keys. I fasted before I gave this message. And when I sat there in my prayer time, God goes, my people aren't seeking me with a plan to find me because I'm crowded for their time. Oh, what's that mean, God? 99.7% of the things that are coming your way tomorrow morning are not of God. And we're going to give him 0.3% with my halfway prayer in the morning and said, I'll see you tomorrow, Lord. So what I started doing was I got up and my worship music's on quicker. I'm listening through the shower. I keep it on in the bedroom. I start praying up and I say, God, you meet me on Sunday because you gave me an appointment, an assignment, not to be a pastor, but just to be real. And so I start going, for some reason, because of this purchase thing, I can't just run around and take that lightly. I can't. I'm like, God, if Pastor Mark calls me on the phone, because I trust him and I know who he is as an apostle of God, then he trusts me to get up here. So I had to dig in. Matthew 6:33 and start seeking it. I'm only telling you that because that's what God's asking you to do today. If you'll just find these areas in your life and just start giving him a little more, it'll just get a little better. And it'll just get a little better. And I learned it's not about how much money I got because he always fixes that. That was the biggest miracle. I started tithing and I thought, my goodness, I just gave you everything I got, Lord. Next thing you know, he started fixing everything in my life. Even my finances. Because he told me that in Malachi. So I want to skip to feeding the 5,000 now. We're getting key points. All right, when he sent out the 12, he gave them the authority. He said, you go do it. Okay, so here's the common interest. Lack of faith in faith. Jesus telling them, you go do it. So he's asking you today, you go do it. Over your family, over your situation. Doesn't mean you have to have a big audience, okay? So feeding the 5,000. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest for a while, where there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When we go out here and we go through life, when we get into God, let me back up, and we start seeking God, you start to see the lost. And then your heart starts to ache. I see it on players on my team and families every day. And I see people that are lost, needing a shepherd. And they're being guided by an enemy that wants to destroy them. And it's sad to me. It's sad to me. And so then I get compassion, and I find that I'm not really coaching. I'm really preaching. And if I ever get fired for that, then so be it. But I'm really going to be praying for the young men that I get to coach. So we go on down let's go to verse 35. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and village and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. Really? So I love it's the Robert Morris deal. If you guys have not watched it, look it up. When Robert Morris talks about it, it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. So it's like this. Jesus would be up here, and they walk over, and they go, Jesus. Yeah, I love watching this. Hey, this has gone great. Great job. People are here. Great message, by the way. Look at all the multitudes. But we think you might ought to just go ahead and cut her loose, let them go so they have something to eat. And the way he says it is so funny because that's so true. They've been there all day. The hour wear it on. And the disciples are just looking for a way out. And they're going to Jesus saying, why don't you just cut it off? And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Lord, we ain't got any, we don't have anything. I'm still saying my ain'ts. I'm still from Western Oklahoma. We don't have anything. And the parable of that, okay? So, but he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. So when they found out that they said five and two fish, then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups in the green grass. So we're talking 5,000. When we have to go into this real quick, there's 5,000 men, that meant families. They only counted the men. So we're talking, there was probably 20,000 people that they sat down in groups of 50 or 100 here. Okay, so then he commanded them, sit down in ranks in hundreds and in 50s. And when he did, had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. Here's one of our keys. You do it. So here's what happens. The disciples are going, now imagine, here's my 50. I'm going to walk over here with my bread, and I'm going to go, take a small piece. Right? We got all these people. I'm just like, just get a little bitty piece, right? But what happened was this right here took an act of faith. And what happened was the miracle happened when the disciples gave them the bread. Wow. Because what's happened in my life, I can't do that. But see, the difference is I started doing that. I can do the things that the world tries to tell me I cannot do in Jesus' name. Because it takes great faith. And what? How do you get great faith? Start trusting God and usually go through a horrible trial. I know we don't want them, guys, but my greatest day was my worst hour. My finest victory was found on my knees. Thank God, in Jesus' name. So you can imagine, take a small piece. So I was getting back to the points we made when we first started. He walks over there, and they're like, and now all of a sudden, if you know the story, what happens is we feed them all, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. So he laughs, Robert Morse, because he gave all 12 of them doggy bags for themselves with all the food that's left over. But the miracle happened after Jesus had said, I'm going to bless it and give it to you, Clark, and you're going to go do it. Yeah, it's the power of God, but here's my deal. I want a relationship with you. See, Jesus wasn't worried about any of the junk. He wanted a relationship. He wanted us to trust him like we should have in the garden. Right? Because in the garden, we already had all that, right? And we were the ones who chose the opposite. And then all of a sudden, here we are. Here's the deal. In the garden, they had plenty of bread and plenty of fish. And these guys are going, well, anything to eat. That's how far we had gotten, and we'd taken ourselves away from God and how the world had fallen. There's no trust, no faith, no. And Jesus, it was real easy to Jesus. Well, give them something to eat. I'm just imagining doing that. Lord, we have nothing to give them. Take a small piece. Okay, so Jesus said, I'm going to go with a couple things. There's a question. Has God asked you to do, I wrote this down because this is for someone here. Has God asked you to do something in faith so that your miracle can happen? Here's how it works. Here's God asking you to do something in faith so that your miracle can happen because he wants a relationship with you and be everything into him. That's how much God loves you. And here we are over there going, go ahead, God, I'll wait on you. Woo! Does that speak? Because that's what we do. I'll wait on you, Lord. I'll throw it up at you, and if you don't catch it, then it's okay. I mean, I was talking about ball there. God, catch that prayer real quick. I'm on the way by. No, that's just not how God works. Because he's died. Guys, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he knows everything about you. He's not in it for the stuff. He wants you. It doesn't matter the things that we're praying for, the miracles, the differences. All these things that we all want do not matter because all God wants is you. That's the revelation he gave me this week when I saw him. He wants you. Wow. So the people set the bread in front of them. Okay, Jesus walks on the sea, and we're going to go quick. I don't want to lose you. I know you're getting it. I can see it. I'm feeling it. And we're going to wrap this up, and we're going to go, wow, empowered, leave here. I'm speaking that over your life because I believe in the spoken word. We're going to leave here changed today and better than we were when we came in here, okay? All of us. By his word, not because of me. Okay, Jesus walks on the sea. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side of Bethsaida, while he sent them the multitude away. So they all went away now. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw the straining and roaring and the wind out there, so we know the story. Now about the fourth watch at night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. And they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked to them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up to the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed by them calling out to Jesus when they saw him. So somebody's going to see Jesus, here's the parable, for the first time today. And by you calling out to him, he's going to come to you, and he's going to calm your sea. Oh, one of my calmest hours was the day that I said, I need you, Jesus, as my Savior. Will it calm me? I was at great peace in the trial of a great storm. Boy, he calmed my sea. And that's what they did here. So I'm going to go over, I'm going to skip over to Matthew because it wasn't in Mark's version. But more importantly to this message, Peter walks on the water. I love this story. You all going to get something out of this. But Matthew chapter 14, 27 through 33. So at the same point in time here, this is Matthew's writing of this. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered to him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." See, I feel like that would have been me, right? I mean, I just do. I'm like, hey, Jesus, can you do it? Can I come out there? I want to do that, right? And so Jesus does not even hesitate. Come. Woo. All he wants is that relationship with Peter here, right? Come. And so, and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. See, it was his act of faith. All God had to do was say, come. Gave him the authority to come. But then when we get out of that boat and we start walking, he started seeing the wind and the things around us. Just like when we leave here today, you're going to be empowered and go out, and the world's going to try to steal this word from you, and we're going to pray that he can't. So when you go back out there, see, when the wind and the waves come, then Peter started to sink, and then he cried out. And here's the part I love. Verse 31, and immediately, well, let's go back up to 29. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Been there. How many of us have been there? I hope you have. If you haven't, I hope today's the day. So I said, "Lord, save me." And immediately, I love that word, "Lord, save me." Immediately. The word "immediately" in Greek is the same. It's immediately. It's right now. It took that long. Okay. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you have little faith." He just told the guy that had faith enough to get out of the boat that he has little faith. But you know what Peter did? Here's what God showed me. He had faith as a mustard seed to get out. How many need to get out of the boat today? Okay, but not only this, once he got out of the boat, he trusted Jesus because of what he had already invested in Jesus and what he already trusted him to do. When he began to sink, do you think Jesus caught him? You know when he caught him? In his lack of faith. Wow. Jesus caught him in his unbelief, didn't he? Woo, so we get worried. What if I can't do it, God? I'm going to get bold. I'm going to come up and I'm going to do it and I'm going to get out of the boat. And you get out and you go, oh my goodness. If I step out of the boat and then I can't do it, man, I'm going to sink hard then. No, it's not what happens here. He said, I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to trust you, God. I start walking. When it got bad, immediately, save me. You see what I'm saying? Because our Savior saves me yesterday, he saves me today, and he's going to save me tomorrow because I need him 24/7, and we all do. So I love the story of Peter right here because the fact was Peter had faith as a mustard seed. That's all it takes to get out of the boat. But after he got out the boat, you all have been out of the boat before. If you're not, I hope you do today. And as you've done that, you've struggled. You've saw the wind. You've faced the world. It's beat you pillar to post, and you started slipping. But here's the great thing about the story is Jesus held out his hand and picked him right up and said, "You have little faith. You'll be just fine." Because when I struggled, he grabbed me and just said, "It's okay, Mark." He grabbed me 2 weeks ago. I know he did, and said, "It's okay, Mark." Probably grabbed me yesterday. Because you've got to conclude that no matter how close you get to God, you're not him. And we will never be worthy to perform anything that we would get the credit for other than God. God makes me always preach this too. If I sent my son, I want you to hear this, and everyone, this is a powerful word as I preach that God always gives me. If I sent my son to die on the cross for your salvation, and that victory of my son is what everything flows through, he's going to get the glory for redemption and restoration in your life, and you never will. And somebody's pride needs to put that down. I had to. I wanted to run around and tell people, hey, look how good I did. I fixed my life. No. You do that, you're never going to get set free until you understand that the redemption and the restoration for your salvation is God and God's alone by the blood of the Son. Woo! And it should bring you freedom today, and it should bring you peace to know that you can go out there, take on the world, challenge yourself in faith to change your circumstances and let God do the work, because he already did it through all these people. Peter came out of the boat. Jesus said, come. Jesus also said, will you give him something to eat? Jesus said, will you go? And don't take anything with you. I got your back. But every one of these instances in Mark chapter 6, the people performed the miracle that they were asked to do that had already been done and was already placed before them by God. They didn't do anything new. Isn't that good? Man, when I read that, and God flowed that out, that was the key point today. When you leave here, you have the power if you trust Jesus. We get in there, I want to go out today, and I know it's not every day are we perfect. I want to go out today and start looking for areas that I can get better in, and that I can start seeking God in, that he's going to be there for me. And I learned it's not about winning games or having a bigger house or having a bigger car. What it is it's about my own peace. Wow. Do you know what I would trade my peace for now? Nothing. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of anything that I would change the peace that I found in Jesus for. I could live on the street corner, be just fine. I mean that. Because it's more valuable than silver or gold. Okay, in wrapping up, many touch him. There's another chapter where it talked about many people were just, now the people have seen this powerful work of God, and they're just running and trying to touch Jesus. And they are, and they're literally touching the hem of his garment and getting healed. I mean, now it's turned into, the people are acting upon it now. They're seeking, they're taking people in beds to Jesus, and people are just getting healed, okay, by the power of God. And that's what he wants for us. It really is. But here's the deal I learned to do too. Not always are prayers answered. I've had people go home and be with the Lord. I've prayed for people not to pass away. I've prayed for different things in my life, and I don't know that God's ways are higher than my ways, but I've learned this. It's okay. God's bigger than that. Just because my prayer doesn't answer doesn't mean God doesn't love me or he doesn't have a bigger plan in it. Because that's when you really test your, that's when you really get into trust or unbelief. Yeah, that's a big deal. Okay, in summary, the power of God to perform miracles is on display when we walk in faith, but also the security that Jesus has your back with lack of faith is on display here. You want us to go into town and don't take nothing? You want us to go out for a week and don't take anything? You want me to go take a piece of bread, two loaves of bread to 20,000 people? So Jesus was still there in their unbelief. God showed me this. I believe in my heart. Mark chapter 6 talks about two parts of faith. Faith in action by Jesus, lack of faith by his followers. And it also showed that the people were doing the miracles for their own lives. God loves you that much, and he's got your back today. Before the fall, I also had this vision. They had all the bread and the fish they needed. And God even kind of showed me this. I believe in the garden, before we fail, we could walk on the water. You know, we're right there in the presence of God. We can't today. Or can we? Maybe God would ask us that. Okay. We are still asking Jesus to do for us what he already had. At one point, and our choices have led us away from God. We already had it in the garden. Question, why do we continue to try to figure God out on our own when by design we never will. We have to trust His plan, not our own. The biggest revelations of me have came from phone calls from people for either jobs or stuff happening in my life that I did not expect. Has anybody ever had that happen? When I'm really dug in, I know it's got to be this way, and I'm pushing against it. I'm going, God, I can do this, and I'm working hard, and I've got it going. And then all of a sudden, I'll get a phone call or something, and God will just, and this will be the thing I've been waiting on. And then I just feel God smile and go, Mark, I'm just going to convince you at some point, just so you know it's me. It's going to be just so you know it's me. I'm always going to do it that way in your life. And I was like, wow, God. So I started, you're right. That's actually what I wanted, God, and I didn't even know it. And I went over here, and I don't, how many people have had that happen? That you're blindsided by a great blessing of God that you weren't striving for. God really doesn't want us to strive. He wants us to be doing the work of the ministry. Okay, so final, I got to tell this testimony, I'll be done. Are you still with me? You got five more minutes here. I didn't want to go past 12 because Pastor Mark goes a lot quicker than I do. Okay, I wanted to give you a testimony as a coach that happened recently. And I only want to tell you a testimony because I want you to see it in action, and I want you guys to start looking for God. What I learned to do when I started writing was I was visibly getting in the Word and looking for God in my own life, because most of the time we're looking at everything else. So what I had to start doing was, am I seeing God? And why would He do this? Why would He do that? And I started digging into the things that were happening in my life and go, maybe that was God. Maybe that was God. And then I started believing that it's always God. Wow. And that takes digging in. Okay, but I'm going to tell you what happened to me. Recently, I started coaching here. And as a coach, I wore many numbers. I wore number 7, and that was because Mickey Mantle did, and it was passed down to my family. But I found out biblically that the number 7 was completed, complete work. Number 7, wow, it's a powerful spiritual word. 7's a good deal. When I went to El Reno to coach, the only number that was available left was number 8. Okay, I'll wear number 8. So I put 8 on, and I'm coaching at El Reno. And then all of a sudden, I look at I'm in church down there, and I'll go, what's the number 8? New beginnings. Wow. It was directly related to a new beginning. So I came here, and it's funny because I'm wearing number 19. I'm coaching here, and I go, the only uniform left is number 19. I'm laughing because I go, that is like the oddest number to wear on the field. And now at every game, people ask me, and I don't tell them. I don't tell them why. So I'm sitting there, and I go, 19, and it just hit me. I'm coaching in third base box here. I think it was in the Vice High. It was one of the games here. And I just go, Philippians 1:19. That's the scripture, Mark. I went home, and I look it up. Do you have that in there, babe? For I know that through your prayers and the help given to the Spirit, given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Wow. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And I go, I'll wear 19. And I wasn't going to give you that today, but I thought to myself, I'm looking for God. Why is it 19, Lord? I'll tell you, if anyone on the Feeding the Fish, real quick, we go to McDonald's yesterday with the team. We go in there, and the lady goes, 388 is your number. All right. So I get my 388. I didn't take my free meal, by the way. As a coach, you get a free meal. But I didn't. I just paid them. So, because I didn't want to take the time to do it. So I go over there, 388. She goes, 388. I go up her. She hands me my two drinks. A funny story. So I'm sitting down with Mr. Puff, and we're always talking about spiritual things. Anyway, I set my two cups down, and I'm sitting there, 388. I go up there. It's my food. This is going to the parable of the feed the 5,000. It's my food in my bag. It's my whatever McDonald's deal. I like the McMuffin, the McMuffin deal, and my hash browns, right? And my two cups, they gave me two more cups, another full orange juice and another cup. So I get them and I go back and I sit down, and they're all scrambling around working. I sit down, I go, now I got two full orange juices, two cups, and a bag. And the lady goes, 388. A different lady. And I walk back up there. This happens. Yeah, I kept the ticket in my wallet. I walk up there. It's another bag with another orange juice and another cup. And I look at Mr. Puff, and he goes, if you try to tell them you don't need it, it's going to cause a disaster. I go, okay. So I just grab it, and I go back, and I sit down. But I was laughing. I sat down, and we were talking about my message for today. And he goes, if she says 388 again, I go, I'm kind of hoping she will, actually. But it was funny because it was a story. Here's what I tell you. God always confirms the word he's given me. And I just laugh because I go, 388, let's do that one more time. I'm like, how many? So I'm handing out these to the kids. Of course, the boys are going to eat them. Who wants another deal? I'm like handing out, you know, sandwiches and stuff. I thought it was just a great testimony for myself. And it had nothing to do. I mean, I struggle just like you. I mean, I'm the same, just exactly the same as you are on this stuff. But I do look for those things. So God would ask you, if you're going to seek me, also look. Look right around you. It's right in front of you. I got great stories, great testimonies all around you. Summary by faith. Well, let me go back. Conclusion. God's plan will always remind us he is God, and he will receive the glory for our life testimony. He is our Redeemer and Restorer. Our cushy society tells us if God can't do it the way I want it, supersize it, slap it on a platter for me right now, then he may just be a carpenter. Then we might get offended. Wow. Then we are in unbelief. God's that big, guys. He's got a miracle right outside for us today. We just got to go seek him. And we got to get after it. He's asking, he's challenging you today. Just do one, just take one step in an area that you need to, and he'll meet you there. And if the enemy comes crying and kicking and screaming, just take another one. And eventually he's like, I don't want none of that, Jesus. He'll flee. See what I'm saying? He'll eventually have to flee because he doesn't want to get into God's camp through Jesus. I'll promise you, the enemy wants no place there. He's already lost that battle. Yeah, he has none. Okay? As a testimony, we fasted. I talked about that. So the Great Commission, is God asking you to change things today? Matthew 28:16-18, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, there's our word, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Whew. All authority, 100% of it has been given to Jesus. And here's the deal. When he went to the cross and he was risen from that, he gave it all to you. And the Holy Spirit came into your life and you have authority. I want the authority of that power in my life. Because you heard the song, there's power in the name of Jesus. There is. But it's just not your power. It's not mine today. Wow. Okay, we're going to wrap up. I'm going to pray. Before we leave, I just feel like that there's a lot of people here that are the one thing God showed me, there's people here today that are about ready to throw up their hands because they're just tired of unbelief. And the message was for you today. It doesn't matter who that is. But when you leave here, start seeking. Get in the Word. Be in church on Sunday. Listen to worship music. Come up here. He'll meet you. God's never not met me when I've cried out to him. Oh, man, and I've cried. I know some of you have too. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that today, God, we are given authority, God, by the blood of the Lamb. God, today, God, I thank you for your people. I thank you that today I'm saved. I thank you that I'm going to choose to believe. Not by sight, God. I just know that it's not by sight. By faith. Lord, I just pray over your people today when we leave here, God, that this word is going to go deep into their hearts. There's going to be life-changing things ahead of them. God, that you just meet them there. And God, you've beaten me to the point so many times when I was looking the wrong direction. And so, God, I believe that your people today are going to find you. Lord, I thank you that Pastor Mark trusted me to get up here today. And, Lord, until you have me do this again, God, just be with my family. Protect me. Protect our church, the ministry, our worship. Protect Pastor Mark and Jada. Protect this house, God. Protect everyone that's engaged in a good work. God, I thank you for everyone that's here. I know they're here by appointment. And today, God, we just send them out. I feel like, God, you're wanting the people to go out of here right now without food or bread or without the two tunics. They're just going to leave here today, and they're going to start seeking you and trusting you and all those things and quit holding on to things that are not necessary. God, I believe that's the word for your people today. God, I'll pray it in today, and we thank you for, I just thank you that you met us here today. God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before we go, I want everybody to, before you leave, in the back of our books, and Pastor Mark does it too, there's always that word of salvation, or there's always the prayer of salvation, and I believe that. If today is the day of salvation for you, if there's somebody here that heard this message and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I would love for you to come up here today. But in the back of these books, I'm believing that people here, you take them for free. I don't care who takes them, but somebody needs to take some books and give them to somebody. As many of them as you want that are the books that I've written back there, give them to whoever. Just say, here. Okay, I mean, it doesn't matter if God can move through that. And so before we dismiss, I want to just speak a blessing over you one time. Father God, I just pray blessing over your people, God, that between now and next week, God, families are blessed. People will be pulled in through every person here. God, and victory is going to take place in salvation, not only in the lives of your people, but the people that they're going to touch when they leave here, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. It's a good word.